Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning, friends. It is great to be with you this Sunday. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice in it. A little bit of frost on the pumpkin, but it still was gorgeous out there this morning. I'm Deacon Loretta Job. I'm a retired deacon who hangs out here and does life and ministry with all of you, and it is a joy for me to do that. This morning we'll be honoring our veterans, so look forward to that. We have a lovely photo display to show you. If you have not already filled out your connection card, it's inside your bulletin. Please take a moment to do that. Also note that there are lots of places on there to sign up and get information for different ministries that are happening here. And we know we want to keep you all connected, and so let us know how we can do that. There are also prayer cards in the pews. We are a praying congregation. We have a group that meets regularly to pray, as well as the pastoral staff. So please, if you are in need of prayer or someone you know, take time to fill that card out, and that prayer will be offered in on their behalf. This morning we have a guest preacher, Barbara Desmay. Going to be so good to hear from you today. And Rose and Greg. Yep. Hi, Greg. You were hiding behind Rose. I didn't see you. Sorry, buddy. If you are not already in Sunday school, you should be, doggone it. So find your way down there. I know Lindsay's already checked on her kids, and they're on their way. We have three announcements this morning. Actually, one of them's going to be in worship with us today. It'll be very special. The Advent study. There will be an all-church Advent study using a book written by Pastor Scott Krostek, who was an associate pastor here a number of years ago. It'll be on Wednesday evenings. It's called Cookies and Community. Guess what? There'll be cookies. Please come, 6:30 to 7 for the cookies. The study will take place from 7 to 8. We'll be breaking into small groups, so come and be a part of that. Meet some new folks and get into the Christmas spirit. On November 20th, we are having a special church conference. It does say what time, 7 p.m. will be here. We will be doing a couple of important votes, so I encourage you to be part of that. Please come. We'll be voting on members for the nominations committee and also on a new endowment charter, which will hopefully increase that endowment interest and information for everybody. So please take note of that and be there. And then the children's program on December 10th, there'll be dinner following, a taco dinner with Santa. I didn't know Santa was into tacos, but why not? But there's tickets for that dinner, so they go on sale on the 19th. So please take note of that, you can make sure you get your tickets before they sell out, because it is a popular event. That is all of my announcements for this morning, and so I'm going to invite Lindsay to come forward, and we're going to do a litany.
On this Veterans Day Sunday, we want to celebrate and recognize those who have given faithful service to our country. If you have served, if you are a veteran, would you please stand? We would like to show our appreciation and gratitude. Will you please join me in this Veterans Day litany? Today we give thanks for the selfless service of all those who have put their lives in harm's way in service to our country. We appreciate the months they spent away from their family, holding on to photographs and memories. We give thanks for their extraordinary valor, their patriotism, their selflessness, and we do not take for granted their sacrifice. We pray for those veterans who came home with scars, both those we can see and those that are unseen. We pray for those veterans struggling with mental illness and homelessness, and we seek ways to improve the quality of their lives. We give thanks for our veterans and pray your blessings upon them and their families. Amen. I'd invite you to turn your attention to the screen as through pictures we are able to see some veterans that have served among us, both congregation members as well as family members of our congregation.
Now let us join in the opening prayer. Lord God, we are grateful that you watch over us each moment of our lives. Guide us to our purpose so that we may see who you would have us be in this world. Give us the tools we need to be your hands and feet. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Nothing sounds more joyous than those bells, I think. Our scripture reading this morning is from Ruth, chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to live in the country of Moab, he and his wife and two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. When they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Then she started to return with her daughters-in-law from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had considered his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she had been living, she and her two daughters-in-law, and they went on their way to go back to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find security, each of you in the house of your husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud. They said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Do I still have sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. Even if I thought there was hope for me, even if I should have a husband tonight and bear sons, would you then wait until they were grown? Would you then refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, it has been far more bitter for me than for you, because the hand of the Lord has turned against me." Then they wept aloud again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. So she said, "Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you, to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do thus to me, and more as well, if even death parts me from you." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
It's a delight this morning as we're starting a two-week sermon series on a series called Answering the Call, as we're exploring God's call in our lives. And this morning, it is wonderful to welcome to the pulpit Barbara Niece May. She and her husband Todd have been a part of our congregation for a number of years, and Barbara is very involved in our church and society ministry. You're going to enjoy hearing Barbara preach this morning as she is discerning a call to ordained ministry as a deacon in her own life. So it is a joy to welcome her this morning as she shares a bit about call and some of her story. Let's welcome Barbara.
Good morning, my dear church family. I am truly humbled and grateful to stand before you today and share a message that has been etched in my heart through personal experiences and reflections. We often hear about the divine calling in our lives, and I want to speak from my own journey. When I was asked to share today, I couldn't help but reflect on my own calling and the inspiration I draw from the life stories of Ruth and Naomi. I want to share with you a journey through the lens of Old Testament times, call out their rich contextual experiences, and how God's grace and love we can respond to our own call in faith and action today. Over the years, there have been various instances where I felt the unmistakable pull of God's call into any manner of ministry, however that might look, and I'm guessing many of you can relate. It's that inner nudge, that gentle whisper, sometimes even the timely words of a friend or a loved one. I've been fortunate to hear and respond to that call, especially in this time of my life, through this church community. However, I must admit that I haven't been quick to answer. Life's challenges, from career setbacks, eagerly awaiting the arrival of twin grandchildren, have sometimes allowed me to drag my feet. My husband's retirement, although a joyful event, brought its own set of anxieties. Truth be told, I've procrastinated a bit. But preparing for this moment with all of you has been instrumental in my discernment. It has taught me that responding to God's call isn't always about convenience and ease, which brings me back to Ruth and Naomi. As the scripture shares in the story of Ruth and Naomi, Ruth felt a tug, a pull to stay with Naomi and worship her God, our God. I can't help but see the relationship between Ruth's decision and how we as God people, inspired by the Holy Spirit, discern, decide to be called, and how we choose to act on it. There is another message in the story of Ruth having to disavow everything Moabite, and that is an important message in and of itself. And sometimes how we may have had to assimilate to a call. I can't imagine this is God's plan. It's a social construct privileged folk have created, and I digress. Calls can come quietly, not always like thunderbolts, something just beyond spectacular. I keep looking for the call, Sarah, Moses, well, maybe not Sarah, let's be honest, Moses, Moses, Mary, mother of Jesus, Joseph, Jonah, Mary Magdalene, and so many others in the Bible experience. Alas, my calls continue to come quietly and without a lot of fanfare. The call is just there, waiting for me, waiting for us to pick it up. Response to the call can take many forms. The story of Ruth and Naomi may not immediately show up as a call story. Trust me, when I Googled it, it did not. And I said, well, this has landed for me and this is where I'm going with it. The book of Ruth is a gritty story about poverty, loss, risk, and survival. The strength that undergirds this story is how Ruth, a young Moabite widow, was called to stay with Naomi, her mother-in-law, which became a life-altering decision, if you know what happens after verse 18. A little bit more background, a central theme in the book of Ruth is Naomi's migration, their movement, as we heard in the scripture, from Judah to Moab, and then, spoiler alert, back again. This generational journey is driven by their basic need, food to survive. Ironically, they must leave Bethlehem, which in Hebrew means house of bread, to find sustenance in Moab, a land whose people are reviled elsewhere in the Old Testament. And then after Ruth proclaims to follow Naomi near God, Naomi takes Ruth back to Bethlehem. But that's next month's story. Catching back up with the story, after Ruth becomes a widow, she professed her devotion to Naomi and her God by declaring, "Your God will be my God." Her calling was born out of the profound bond she shared with Naomi. They loved each other as mother and daughter. Perhaps it wasn't a dramatic revelation or external affirmation. It was the Holy Spirit moving through her heart, through Ruth's heart, and Naomi's heart, in a challenging and inconvenient time. I just had a thought. Naomi bringing a widowed daughter-in-law could have brought risk to her too. The inconvenience in being called manifests in various ways. In my life, it began with my first job out of college, serving as an AmeriCorps Vista volunteer, supporting newly arrived immigrants who speak Spanish in the Delta of Arkansas, and that was about 30 years ago. This greatly differed from the expectations of my family, and in many ways, walking away from my family culture and having to build my own. This created a distance. My path was inspired by those who radiated God's love, and I had a desire to serve, and I longed to experience those same feelings. What might be on our minds is the difficulties do come with answering God's call. Just like Ruth, who had to navigate her way through new culture, religion, and the uncertainties of life, we will encounter challenges, and these challenges, when embraced, can lead to spiritual growth, powerful adaptability, and a deeper understanding of our faith. Remember that even in our most challenging moments, God's grace is ever present and is there to fuel us. How Ruth felt the tug is inspirational for me. There are many themes that can be drawn, but what keeps coming back for me is Naomi's unwavering faith and Ruth's inspired response to it. Naomi's love, generosity, embodiment of God's love were transformative. Ruth's faith was active from the outset with her declaration and committing to trust in God, even in the most dire of circumstances. She exhibited courage by staying with her mother-in-law, and her journey shows how God can take a challenging situation and things do somewhat work out. The story paints a religious and cultural backdrop that helps us better understand the context of the narrative, inviting all of us to focus on the story's human interactions and to draw conclusions about the presence and the further calling of God within it. For both Ruth and Naomi, their contemplative moments laid the groundwork for faith in action. What inspires us to respond to our calling? Who or what awaits us on the other side of that call? These questions encourage us to consider the transformative power of our faith and how it propels us to live out our calling. I've learned important lessons from challenging situations. After supporting Spanish-speaking immigrants, I supported survivors of sexual assault and domestic violence for 25 years with direct service, public policy advocacy, and leading programs. I faced a public reckoning in 2021 while serving as the executive director of Safe House Center in Ann Arbor. Following my departure, I felt like I was alone and really didn't have a next thing for me. I faced an emptiness I had never imagined. Can I still grow, learn, be part of the kingdom? Am I enough to be called in? Soon after, dear friends, the Green family invited us to this church. And it was this church which ministered God's grace to me in the toughest of times. Through this, I learned that of course I can grow and learn, and because I am part of the kingdom, I am inherently called. My experience deepened my commitment to compassion and authenticity, that I'm still a valued child of God. This opening, the shift, frankly, opened me to hearing a call through Pastor Lindsay to further my faith through deacon work. My ability to inspire, have courageous conversations, and humbly lead has grown exponentially. This growth has enhanced my capacity for compassion, developed a growth mindset, and further motivates me to do this important work. There are times in our lives where we may feel spiritually or emotionally empty, when it seems like the end of the road. My experience a couple of years ago left me feeling completely empty. However, I had to learn and remember on the daily that sometimes these moments are just the beginning we need. It's not convenient or pretty, but it is the beginning we need. The call from God can come in unexpected times and places, which it did for me in the midst of what I now call the great emptying out. The call can come from simple Tuesday morning coffee, while running errands, or in the quiet moments of our prayers. The key is how we respond to that call. Let us not place a period where God has put a comma. Embrace the inconvenience of being called in messy circumstances, for it is often in these challenging moments that we discover our true purpose of our lives and experience the transformative grace of God. May you find inspiration in the story of Ruth and Naomi, in the reflection on your own call, and in the understanding that the inconveniences of life can lead to beautiful moments of growth and grace. Sometimes the most difficult roads can lead to the most beautiful destinations. God bless you all, my dear church family. Amen.
your wonderful message. On this great day where we're celebrating our amazing veterans, something Barbara said made me think of something that I saw yesterday. My cousin's son recently got out of the Marines, and then he got married, and then he's home. I'm looking at a video yesterday, and I saw him putting that military training to really good use as he was attacked by twins that are only 7 months old. And he simply laughed and enjoyed it. It was a marvelous thing to see. Would you please, after the service, take time to sign the cards out there, tie a knot. We do have three prayer quilts today, one for Nancy Nelson, Cindy Armbruster, and Barbara Lansing. And now, if you would, please join me in an attitude of prayer. Great are you, Lord, so worthy of our praise and worship that it is beyond our understanding. We exalt you, Heavenly Father, and come boldly to your throne, seeking your mercy and grace. Lord, we shout for joy, worship with gladness, and come before you with joyful songs. As we worship together in your presence, what do you want us to do beyond these walls? Do we, like Samuel, know it is you calling? Or are we even paying attention to your calls? If we consider the ways you may call us, do we follow Isaiah and offer a send me response? Strengthen us with the power of your Spirit, so Christ dwells in our hearts through faith. You make all things come together for the good of those who are called according to your purpose. Let us persevere through suffering to develop character that offers hope in your holy name. Bless our prayer quilts, so the recipients experience your peace when wrapped in them. Give hope to those on our prayer list by the power of your comfort, healing, and strength. Help our veterans feel the warmth of our gratitude for their service to our country. Hear us now as we silently consider everything in the name of Jesus while giving you thanks. Help us answer your call to share the good news of Jesus Christ as our only way to you. Help us answer your call to use our gifts to bear everlasting fruit in the name of Jesus. Help us answer your call to be wise by putting the words Jesus spoke into practice. Hear our voices as we say together the words Jesus taught us how to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and glory forever. Amen.
Dear brothers, dear sisters in Christ, it is wonderful to hear the message of calling this morning. And as I am thinking about the many ways in which our congregation is called, whether it is called to lay ministry or called to ordained ministry, God is working in our midst through the missions and the ministry to make an impact upon this world. This past week, I served on the Board of Ordained Ministry. This past week, I was a part of interviewing candidates as they go through their process towards ordination. And it got me thinking about the many folks that have experienced a call out of this congregation that have gone on to pastoral ministry, serving as licensed local pastors and deacons and elders and lay ministers. And it got me thinking of Bob Fuchs and Brian Kilpatrick and Sue Patu and Bob Miller and Dan Phillips and Barbara Neesmay, folks that have heard a call and a tug at their hearts. And as I look out this morning at the congregation, I also see the tug of God at your heart to serve and make an impact in this world. The variety of ways you serve and care and minister. So I give you thanks and celebrate the goodness of God's grace this day. I would invite the ushers to come forward to wait upon us to receive our tithes and gifts. And I would invite Greg to come forward this morning as he shares with us a moment of mission around CAS Community Social Services. Won't you come forward and share one of many ways in which Greg serves our congregation? Thanks, Greg.
I know you're seeing a little too much of me here this morning as I have been blessed with the opportunity to give a CAS Community Social Services mission moment. Prior to opening of the Green Gym back in 2010, I joined an elite squad of highly skilled Brighton First United Methodist volunteers helping that facility to open. And later that year, someone asked me if I would take over coordinating the Saturday missions. And we've been doing it throughout COVID. We missed one day, and that was because they didn't take any volunteers. And we hope to go again here in November. Why? Because CAS is an exemplary organization fighting poverty and creating opportunity. Jesus said that the poor would always be with us, and CAS is persevering in that struggle. Creating opportunity is providing hope. Hope which comes in the form of food, housing, health services, and jobs programs. Brighton First United Methodist has shared in those efforts. Our volunteers, buckle up, have cleaned, mended, and painted for affordable housing. Our volunteers have assembled, made up, and set up beds for warming centers. Our volunteers have weeded gardens, trimmed shrubs, planted trees and flowers, mowed grass, and cleaned outside to beautify and make areas safer for residents. Our groups have prepped mass quantities of eggs and bacon for breakfast, assembled sandwiches, and prepared lunches to feed the community. Our volunteers cut their teeth on small paper shredders in a closet, document destruction room, and graduated to an industrial shredder in the documents destruction warehouse that takes sorting and shredding paper to a new level while making money and recycling paper for CAS. What have these years meant to me? Romans 5, 1 through 5, Paul wrote about a faith process that begins with Christ's sacrifice, making us right with God. That peace with God frees me to serve and grow in faith. When serving for CAS, I'm focused on others and trusting God for other volunteers and a safe day. Romans 5, 3, and 4 are my Yoda verses. Paul wrote, suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. Building my character is not an easy job. But anything is possible for God. We've already heard how Cass perseveres and provides hope. They've helped me do the same in part of a day because they accept volunteers to help with certain tasks. There is always room for more volunteers. Whom shall we send? Amen.
We would also like to acknowledge this morning that the altar flowers are in honor of Ron and Christine Smedley's 50th wedding anniversary. Congratulations. Lord, we thank and praise you with the offerings we bring today. We thank you for giving us meaningful work in your name. We thank you for providing us with a community that supports us in that work. Bless these offerings toward the growth and sustenance of discipleship in your name. Amen.
From the words of John O'Donohue, may the blessings released through your hands cause windows to open darkened minds. May the sufferings of your calling brings but winter before the spring. May the companionship of your doubt restore what your beliefs leave out. May the secret hungers of your heart harvest from emptiness its sacred fruit. May your solitude be a voyage into the wilderness and wonder of God. May your words have the prophetic edge to enable the heart to hear itself. May the silence where your calling dwells foster your freedom in all you do and feel. May you find words full of divine warmth to clothe the dying in the language of dawn. May the slow light of the Eucharist be a sure shelter around your future. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You are invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.